Tigers getting set to start the second half on Friday. And we have Fact or Fiction. John, try to do better this time for the second half of the season.
That's right. Hey, all right, the big news, Tarek Skubal. We've got to work it into the show somehow today. Will the Tigers keep Skubal?
Fact or fiction, John, they keep Skubal.
I think they do, and here's why. I just don't know that we've talked about Baltimore. We've talked about L.A., the Dodgers. We've talked about New York. I don't think there is going to ultimately be a package put together. Scott Harris should be talking about these, taking all calls. I don't think there's going to be somebody that wants to give up the value that you should get for this year's Cy Young Award winner.
Given the lack of urgency from the front office, if they're not going to be more competitive in the next year or two, it does make sense to trade him, but only for a Godfather offer. And I don't think they're going to get one. I think he stays a Tiger into the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think I didn't know if this was ever real until this week happened, you know, with the news that came out. And then, of course, you reported the exclusive from the chatter down at the All-Star game. And Mike was brilliant yesterday in the way he just said that there. We need to find out after the deadline that how did this play out behind the scenes, and that the discussion at least has to happen. If they got to pick up the phone if somebody calls.
Right.
It can't be like he's not untouchable anymore. All right. Scott Harris will ace the deadline.
What does ace the deadline mean? I'm going to say that they do trade Flaherty and they get something in return like they did Lorenzen a year ago. Is ace the deadline not have an Eduardo Rodriguez situation? I don't think we're going to have that again. I think he'll do the right thing and sell, short sell. I think this is a fact.
Okay, I wrote down define this. What does define the... I think the only way he can really ace it is if he does get the Godfather offer for Tarek Skubal and transforms this team into a contender next year. And can you even do that without Skubal as a part of the pitching roster next year as part of the rotation? I don't know that that's possible. So I think he does the right thing, but I think acing it is...
All right. It was written the wrong way then. Will you feel better about Scott Harris after the deadline?
I think we'll feel like he's competent.
Sure.
Okay, let me put it in these terms. It won't be strike three for Jim Costa.
I agree with that fact.
Strike three, we've all said, at least for now, is going to have to be something massive.
Yeah.
All right. Tigers finished with more wins than last year, which was 78.
So a lot of math involved in this one. And so to get to that 78 wins, which this one is you'd have to get to 79, but to get to 78, you've got to finish 31-34. Three under 500. This is a team that right at the All-Star break is three under 500. So they basically have to do exactly what they've done, except when you look at the remaining teams on the schedule, especially the way it starts. They've got Cleveland, they've got Baltimore, they've got New York, obviously the Twins and Kansas City, all, you know, three of those are conference opponents. Boston, who is a like team in there as well. This is fiction. I don't think they get more wins than they had last year.
Yeah, it's fiction. You sell at the deadline, you face a tough schedule, they're not going to have a better record.
No.
So you're not buying this hot streak?
No. It's fun,
Enjoy it. Enjoy it during the moment.
The offensiveness by your answer there.
Well, yeah. We've watched them enough more than the 10 games going into the All-Star break to know better.
All right, Riley Green finished with over 30 home runs. Right now he has 17.
I'll go fact. I think he's got it in him. 30 home run season for the Tiger outfielder. He's having a breakout season. I think he continues in the second half.
So he's had 17 in 97 games.
Yeah.
We always use, you know, the first half, second half, but it's not completely broken up that way. I think he gets close, but I think this is fiction. I don't think he finishes with more than 30.
So he's technically pacing for like 29.
Right.
So it's just, does he have a little more in the tank?
All right, Spencer Torkelson finishes with over four home runs.
Now, careful, John. Right now. Careful, John. Four, not 40.
Right, yes, thanks. Trust me, I know the receipts yesterday. I did not have good receipts. And this is, I don't know, maybe I'm just an emotional swing past what I did and how much he sold me out. That would be Spencer Torkelson, not Jim Costa. I don't know that he's even brought up by the end of the year. I think ultimately maybe he is to give it another chance, but I don't think he hits another home run.
God, so depressing to say fiction, but it feels like fiction. Yeah. He's not exactly hitting the cover off the baseball in AAA.
He's not doing what Parker Meadows did when he was sent down.
Does he get a pity call up in September and hit one home run? Maybe, but I'm going to go with fiction.
Yeah, I mean, if he can't turn around a little in Toledo, I don't think he comes up either. And I know I've made the case for this. Maybe he's doing it already. In the offseason, he's going to have to get with some sort of, like, whatever, psychologist and try to fix what happened here. I don't think you can just accidentally hit 30 home runs in the major leagues. All right, or 40. Colt Keith finishes with more than 25 combined home runs and stolen bases. Right now, that number's at 14.
This one is tough because he obviously, we talked about the good May. It was a bad April. It was a bad June, but it was been a strong July. I think he's finding his way. I think he not only continues to hit more home runs, not at the pace that he has here in July, but he's got 9 home runs right now. I think he does continue to find power. I think the more opportunities that he has on base will create more opportunities for stolen bases. So I'm going to go this one, I think, over.
Yeah, he's really starting to round into form. And if July can be strong into August,
yeah,
he's going to get there. Plus, the throw in September. He has 5 stolen bases, and I think that may help him get to the 25 total. I'll go fact.
Jace Young gets called up before the end of the year.
Fiction. I think they want him to work on his defense at third base, which begs the question, who was blocking any? Anyway.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, no, I don't think he makes his debut this season.
What is this, March 30th?
I know.
I just think there's too many steps. This is an organization that has shown that they want guys to go through the steps. They're not going to bump them up from if he gets the AA, you know, in West Michigan, that they're not going to all of a sudden just say, hey, let's come up to the big leagues. I think they are going to continue to go through the process. Scott Harris is big on process. So, no, I don't think he gets called up.
Kenta Maeda throws more than 100 innings pitch. Right now he's at 69.
This is a tough one, isn't it? Because he's going to the bullpen, which would lower the innings. And if he's no good, he shouldn't be on the team, which means he won't get there. But I think if you suspect they're trading somebody at the deadline, at least one could be Flaherty. What if they trade Skubal? What if you have an injury? I think they're going to need him to eat the innings. They won't be good innings or pretty innings, but he'll get over 100. Fact.
This is tough because, I mean, even when he starts, he doesn't really, I mean, he goes, what, 3 1/3?
Right.
He's been pulled before that. He's going to have to get 10 opportunities of 3 or more innings. I'm going to say, no, this is fiction. I don't think he gets to 100 innings pitched.
All right. The Tigers go 10-1 out of the break and trade for Matt Chapman.
Fiction.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, we forget about the Tigers after August 8th because that's the Lions' first preseason game.
Fact.
Oh, yeah, fact. There's no question. They're obviously not in contention for the division. I don't think there's going to be much buzz or contention for a wild card spot. So once the Lions start their preseason games, this is, I mean, bye-bye.
The one thing I got out of this, you guys absolutely aren't buying the 8-2 as anything.
It's fun. It's like starting off 5-0. It was fun, but we didn't think that they were going to be, you know, division contenders. Maybe wild card contenders, but I think both of those ships have sailed.
There you have it. Second half, fact or fiction, 97.1.
Hey, the summer driving season is upon us once again, and the combination of increased traffic, big trucks, motorcyclists, and we know it, you see it everywhere, construction, all contribute to the fact that summertime in Michigan has more accidents than any other season of the year. If you've been injured in an accident, injury attorney David Femininio and his team are ready to help you right now. And here's a great fact. David will never take a fee until he wins your case. And you can speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Few minutes before the 2 Grand Slam, Heather gives us the news.
I sure do. There was a man who was fatally shot Wednesday morning after breaking into an Orion Township home with plans to attack his ex-girlfriend.
Jeez.
So the suspect was actually shot by the ex-girlfriend's stepson. So the Oakland County Sheriff says that this woman stepson ran upstairs and into a bedroom, and the stepson basically like barricaded the door while she was hiding. This guy broke in using an axe, also had a gun with him, fired a shot through the door, and officers are like, we don't know how. It was just a miracle that this random shot didn't hit the stepson who was holding the door closed. Like it just...
Yeah.
Because when
you see it in the movie, right? You're like, hey, I don't hold the door. Gosh. And all of a sudden, like three bullets go around the silhouette
exactly.
of your head.
Exactly. And the stepson, who also had his own weapon, was able to fire off a shot, and it ultimately killed the suspect. It's just, it's a wild story. And it sounds like this guy, he had previously threatened to kill the woman before, and he already had a personal protection order and extreme risk protection order filed against him. He had his weapons confiscated by the state under the red flag laws or whatever that's called, but he had stolen his ex-wife's gun to take to his ex-girlfriend's house. It's just it's an awful story all around.
You mean he just walked through that piece of paper?
Yeah.
It's shocking.
Yeah. Four suspects were arrested at a gas station in Harper Woods after stealing multiple Ford Raptor trucks from a downriver lot. So it happened on Wednesday morning. 10 Ford Raptor trucks were stolen. This was from the Flat Rock Assembly Plant, a lot there, right around 2 a.m. Each of the trucks were valued at about $100,000. They got away with a lot. Two of the trucks were found abandoned on I-75 because they ran out of gas. Four more trucks were later found that same day, and then four suspects were taken to custody at the gas station, I'm guessing, to fill up their trucks to continue their
getting
theft.
Away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get ready to spend a lot of money to send your kids back to school. I know you don't want to think about school yet because it's still technically summer. Mm. We're in July. But a new report from the National Retail Federation says the average household will spend roughly $875 on school essentials before the first day of class. Obviously, there's a lot of things that can be essentials, right? New clothes, shoes, but then all the supplies that they need. Backpacks, lunchboxes, pencils, things like that. The estimate is $15 less than last year, but it still is significantly higher than just 5 years ago when the average was $697, which is still a lot. And now there's another report out there that people are kind of doing some extreme things to cut costs. They're stealing from work. So whether that's
supplies.
Getting some staples, some pens, some paper, who knows what else. Depends where you work, what kind of things you have. Other people are dumpster diving.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what it says. And then other people have, I guess, more reasonable tactics. They're looking for back-to-school sales, maybe comparing multiple stores or couponing, things like that. So just be prepared, and you really be prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got one going to college.
Yeah. You need so much for that. Ugh. You got your little shower caddies, your bedding.
I thought
the decor. Yeah.
And it's so Lucy asked me last night, she's like, you know, what am I missing anything? And she asked me, she's like, what do you remember needing from college? And I said, Lucy, my dorm, it was a dude's dorm room, right? Much different than a girl's dorm room. Oh. And I said, I had my bed, a TV, and that was
a
about
computer?
It. Well, no, we didn't have we had computers at the time, yes.
Computers?
But
what
we had,
those?
Yeah, we used the computer lab. I mean, it wasn't like the laptops were not.
Yeah, people probably didn't.
No.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say people were doing extreme things like selling Lions training camp tickets to help pay for the school supplies.
You know what? We could probably add that to the list.
There you go.
Yeah, you could sell your ticket. Yeah, that or you could buy a video game with it.
Yeah. Finally, the NFL made a ton of money last year. In fact, the NFL had record earnings in 2023. So last year, each team earned $402.3 million in national revenue. And when multiplied by 32, the league made almost $13 billion in national revenue, which is a 7.5% increase from the previous year.
It's a giant.
It is.
And the goal for by 2027 is to make $25 billion.
Right.
In national revenue.
And, okay, let's just take this to the contracts that were just signed by the Lions. I think they are all very comfortable knowing that the salary cap will continue to go up.
Exactly. Finally, it's on between Britney Spears and Ozzy Osbourne. I don't know if you follow either of them online, but on a recent episode of The Osbournes, it's a podcast, Ozzy basically said that he was fed up with seeing Britney Spears doing all her little dancing videos on social media. And he said, She's doing them every effing day. And he added, it's sad, very, very sad. And then the rest of the family kind of agreed and said that they felt sorry for her. Well, she heard and she kind of hit back with a kind of a long, complicated message, which is pretty much her norm on Instagram. But among a whole bunch of other things, she says that the Osborne family is the most boring family known to mankind. And she told them to kindly F off.
Oh,
it's so there's amazing that she could even understand it.
Is it possible to be on neither of their sides in this?
Yes. Yes, okay. Yes it is.
Because that's where I'm at.
Yes.
They're not dull by any stretch of the imagination. They're kind of very entertaining.
I do lean more to one side.
Which side?
The Osbournes.
Yes, yeah. I am too.
It is, I do agree that it is, she needs some sort of help. It is sad to see what is happening and what she posts on social media. I'm more of the nude photos. Let's take those down, Brittany. Dance all you want, but
yeah,
do it with some clothes on.
Mm.
Yeah.
What was the?
Yeah, those aren't so bad.
Maybe she needs an OnlyFans.
There we go.
That's what she needs. Keep like cute photos of her dogs on Instagram and then get an OnlyFans and then do all her dancing. You know?
Yeah.
And that's Heather with the news and some entrepreneurial ideas.
Yes. Brittany, you can make a ton of money. Let's go.
Speaking of winning money and getting money, the two grand slam.
I hope we give away a ton of money. This would be great. We all know the rules of the game, right? It's super simple. 60 seconds, 10 questions. If you get each one right, you win $2,000. With each correct answer, you're going to get $25. And you really want to use your time wisely because if you don't know something, pass. Yep. And if there is enough time, we can get back to it and hopefully
save your
the right
time.
Answer. Yes.
The guy on Tuesday used his time really well.
So quickly, yeah. And his answers were, like, I'm trying to write down which ones were right and wrong. He was super fast in his answers.
Yes, he was.
It goes quickly. Be strategic. Our contestant today, it's Ed. Ed, you're on 97.1. Ed in Ferndale, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How was your morning going?
Pretty good. About to go to work soon here, so.
It's about to get even better.
Yes.
I can win.
All right.
All right, Ed, so your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Michigan opens their football season against this team.
Pass.
Who is the head coach of the Texas Longhorns football team?
Pass.
What is the state capital of Louisiana?
Pass.
Who do the Tigers play tomorrow night?
The Blue Jays.
Who played Wade Garrett in the 1989 movie Roadhouse?
Chuck Norris.
This team is currently in first place in the National League Central.
Ooh. Who's in first place? The Brewers.
Who was the last Big 12 team to win a national title in football?
Big 12 team. The Clemson.
All-Star Game MVP Jaren Duran plays for this MLB team.
The Red Sox.
Jim Leland wore this jersey number with the Tigers.
Ooh, 40.
This rapper had the 1996 song All Eyes on Me.
Oh.
Tupac.
Sorry, late.
Too late.
Yeah. You were right on that one, but we got you with three correct. Is that?
That's what I got him.
Yep.
One, two, three. Yep.
Yep. $75.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take it.
All right.
Those first three.
We're going to go through them, but $75, more than you had when you woke up today. $75, we'll put you on hold, get your info.
Okay, thank you.
Want to go through these, John?
Yeah, let's do it.
The first question, who does Michigan begin their football season with?
Fresno State. New head coach as well.
Who is the head coach of the Texas Longhorns?
That would be Steve Sarkisian.
You're good with state capitals. What's the capital of Louisiana?
That would be Baton Rouge.
Where like LSU plays.
It almost
called Baton Rouge.
Oh, God.
You had to use the accent.
Baton Rouge. Why not?
I don't know.
The Tigers play the Blue Jays.
The stony thing.
On Friday.
Ouch. Shots fired. All right. It's on.
John, who played Wade Garrett in the 1989 movie Roadhouse?
One of the greatest mustaches known to man, that's Sam Elliott.
And voices.
Yep. Yeah, yes,
he's got a great voice.
Yes. Chuck Norris was not in that movie.
No.
First place in the National League Central, he got it right, the Brewers.
Uh-huh.
The last Big 12 team to win a national title, he said Clemson.
Sorry.
who's not in the Big 12 at any point in their history.
Uh-huh.
Texas. The answer was Texas.
Yes, who's no longer in the Big 12.
It would have been Vince Young, Mack Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
All-Star MVP, got it right. Red Sox. Leland wore the number
10.
This rapper, he got it at the very end after the buzzer. 96 song, All Eyes on Me, Tupac.
Mm-hmm. $75. It's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried as he was passing on those first three that this is going to be rough. I hope he doesn't pass on all of them.
Have we ever had that where somebody passed single time?
Not every single time, but we've had somebody who's consistently passed.
We've had a zero before, too. Somebody who's gotten absolutely none right.
Right.
Right. Yes.
But at least they would attempt an answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty rough if you just passed all 10. Heard all 10 questions, answered none of them.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be basically better off just sitting in your car listening than calling in at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, because Heather will shame you as well.
I will.
We are aware of that. Two Grand Slam on Thursday, brought to you by Genesis Credit Union. Your next chance to win Tuesday morning, 7:25. Coming up next, ESPN's doing this thing, right? All-Star break, slow time in sports. The top 100 athletes of the 21st century. So from the year 2000 to today, the final 25 get announced later today. I wanted to localize it. I've put together the top 10 Detroit athletes since the year 2000. I'm sure everybody will agree. There will be no debates. It'll be smooth sailing. No, I know better. We'll get to it next, 97.1.
All right, I know that some of you guys are finding yourself wearing a hat more and more often, or you're turning off your camera on those Zoom calls. Well, guess what? It's time to deal with your hair loss, and it's time to talk to the guy who wrote the book on it. Literally, that's Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. He's Michigan's number one hair restoration specialist, and Dr. B will restore your hair and your confidence just like he's done for thousands of guys over the years. You can go online and read all sorts of reviews from his patients who recommend Dr. B, and they all talk about how much younger and more confident they're feeling after their procedure. They say they couldn't be happier with the results, and they say it's the best decision and investment that they've ever made. Michigan Hair Restoration has so many more options than just hair transplants. There's lots of natural remedies, and these therapies keep getting better and better results for his patients. Dr. B also has treatment plans that fit almost every budget. And right now, they've got a special you can't miss. Call and book your consult. Make sure you speak to Maria. Mention 97.1, and you're going to get a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment valued at $1,000 at your consultation. Download Dr. B's Ultimate Guide to Hair Loss and Restoration today at MichiganHairRestoration.com.
We got a poll question up this morning. The most anticipated season in recent Detroit sports history, is it the 2024 Lions, 2013 Tigers, 02 Wings, or the 97 Red Wings? You can vote. The early returns, overwhelmingly 73%, the Lions. Legit Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Kind of trumps everything else.
Well,
recency
is part of it, but I mean the buildup to this season is... it's like nothing I don't think we've ever seen before. And I think it's legitimate.
John, I said I had something to present to people today. I have a top 10 list spun off of ESPN's best athletes of the 21st century. So since the year 2000,
mm-hmm.
They're doing a top 100. And there are some Detroiters in the list. Cabrera's on the list. Verlander's on the list. I decided I would just do a Detroit list. Not 100 names, but 10 names. A top 10 Detroit athletes since 2000, the 21st century.
Okay.
Some caveats. I only want players who played most of their career in the 21st century. So someone like Yzerman or Fedorov, who played most of their career before the year 2000, I left off the list.
I get that.
That makes sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Their best years were pre- 2000.
Of those who qualified, I valued greatness over longevity, but ideally you have both, and the guys at the very top of the list have both. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I have some honorable mentions before we get to the top 10.
Okay.
And Greg, I don't know if we have any music for the top 10, but the honorable mentions, just to go through some of the guys who are not on the list. Chris Osgood, borderline Hall of Famer, right on the edge.
Uh-huh.
Rip Hamilton. Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford,
oh.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown. Just on the outside of the top 10. And for St. Brown, he could end up on this list. Already an All-Pro, driving force.
Oh, you're just putting another list together for Amon-Ra St. Brown to recite for us.
But those are those that just missed the list.
Okay. Are you going to start with 10?
We'll start with 10.
I would anticipate.
Yeah, let's do it. Number 10. Do we have any music, Greg? You don't have any music. Okay, no music. That's fine. We've had enough production today. We'll just do this. Number 10, Maglio.
Okay.
Won a batting title, two-time All-Star with the Tigers, Silver Slugger, and of course, everybody remembers, sent the Tigers to the World Series.
What a, one of the greatest moments of this century.
Number 9, Penei Sewell.
Oh.
So I do have representation from the current Lions on the list. You could accuse me of being a little premature with this. I would tell you...
Penei Sewell, but no Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And here's the difference. They're both all pros. Sewell is the best at his position. Yes. St. Brown, we did yesterday, he's not the best at his position. Sewell, to me, is the identity up front on the offense.
We had him top three,
didn't we? I had him, I think, four.
Okay, yeah. Top four?
But Sewell is one.
Okay, well, I
and you're the best at your position on the offensive line, the identity of the football team. I chose him over St. Brown. You could flip them if you think St. Brown is more important, impactful, better, however you want to do it.
Oh, no, I think an offensive lineman is way more impactful.
Okay, and I think he's better than St. Brown.
I will wait to see what the next eight look like before I go all in.
These next eight, I think, are unimpeachable. Oh. I don't think any of these guys could be kicked off the list. You could fight me on 9 or 10 with maybe an honorable mention. You're an Aussie guy. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. Fine. My number 8 is Ben Wallace. The identity of the going to work era, Hall of Famer, 4-time defensive player of the year. That's the most in NBA history, tied with a couple other guys. But one of the greatest defensive players of all time in an era where defense won championships. Mm-hmm. Number 8 is Ben Wallace. You good with that?
Well, again, I'll wait to see what the other 7 look like.
Okay. Well, number 7 is former Red Wing captain, Henrik Zetterberg. Led the team in points in the 08 and 09 Cup playoffs. MVP of the 08 Cup with that Conn Smythe shift, killing off a 5-on-3. More than 1,000 games as a Red Wing. It's the 6th most all-time. Henrik Zetterberg, number 7.
Okay.
Number 6, Mr. Big Shot, Chauncey Billups. MVP of the finals team, best player on that team in that era, 5-time All-Star, two-way, not just defense like Ben, but also the guy that hit all those clutch shots, including everybody remembers the shot against the Nets.
Sure.
That's number 6. Number 5, Calvin Johnson, who is on ESPN's list of the top 100 athletes of the 21st century. He checks in number 5 for me, Hall of Famer, as physically gifted as any receiver in NFL history. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, and he was as physically, I've always said this about Calvin, as physically gifted as anybody that I've ever played football with, and in NFL history, as you mentioned, worked his butt off and didn't take it for granted that he was gifted that the DNA.
6'5", 4'3", 40, big hands, double teams, triple teams, bracketing him with two guys on the goal line, doesn't matter. You couldn't stop Calvin Johnson. NFL record holder still to this day, going back to when it was a 16-game season, now 17-game season. Number 4, we're really getting into the pantheon here. Justin Verlander, MVP, Cy Young winner, 6-time Tiger All-Star, pitched in 2 World Series, was a bulldog in the postseason to get him to those World Series. Verlander, number 4. Just ahead of Verlander, number 3, Pavel Datsyuk, Hall of Famer, 2-time Cup champion, elite two-way player, 3 Selke Awards, 3rd best plus-minus all-time in Red Wing history. Number 2, Miguel Cabrera. One of only 7 guys with 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, 4-time batting champ, 2-time MVP, triple crown winner. You're thinking, how is he not number 1? The number 1, the best Detroit athlete in the 21st century is Nick Lidstrom. Most of his career played after the year 2000. 7 Norris trophies all came in the 21st century. 2-time Cup champ, captain in 08, MVP of the playoffs in 02. His goal from center ice against Vancouver is one of the all-time slept-on moments in Detroit sports history. They were down 0-2. He scores from center ice, flips the series. They go on, they advance, and that loaded roster wins the Stanley Cup.
So, to me, you valued championships more than... So, Lidstrom, I would put Cabrera at number 1.
Why?
because he is one of the three or four best hitters all time.
Lidstrom is one of the one or two best defensemen in the history of hockey. It's him and Bobby Orr. And if Orr didn't play as long, you could argue Nick Lidstrom is the greatest defenseman in the history of hockey. And he played in the 21st century for the Red Wings. I mean, even just taking the fact that he was on two cup teams off of it, he was, again, he plays defense. It's boring. He wasn't a guy who hit bone-crunching hits into the boards, but he was so good, the perfect human.
It's 1-2. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah, no, when you do this, you disparage the person that's two. Right. It comes off that way, and that's not what's happening here. You guys simply disagree.
Right.
I would side with Jim in the fact that his nickname was the perfect human. And
he didn't make mistakes.
And he is in the discussion and is on my starting five NHL all-time team. Miguel Cabrera, I don't know how you quantify that. Would he be in your all-time lineup? I mean, I'd have to think that out. But still, that's six people, and he doesn't play goalie. So he just, I mean, it's, you know, and I don't know if the NHL ever did this. I would love for them to do it, is to create their all-time starting six. And I don't know if Lidstrom would be on it, because I think there would be Canadian bias. He should be on it. Seriously, I mean, and if you think that, I don't know how he's not the best athlete ever here locally.
If the Tigers had finished the deal in, you know, in any one of those seasons, 12, 13, 14.
I don't think it puts Cabrera number one.
No, I'm Verlander.
Oh.
Would you have moved him ahead of Datsyuk?
Yeah, I think there's a real debate with 3 and 4, to be honest with you. I think there's a drop-off after those two. Calvin at 5, I don't think you could argue him in over Verlander or Datsyuk. I didn't know the bottom. Zetterberg versus Chauncey. I mean, again, we're splitting hairs a little bit. If you want to call and fight about 6 versus 7, 1 versus 2, did I have any glaring omissions? Did I miss anybody? Is someone being wronged significantly on this list?
No, and I'm originally I was a little bit miffed, you might say, that Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't on it, but there's nobody on there I would take off.
Right. I think that top eight's tough. And then you could fight Sewell St. Brown. You could fight Maglio Osgood. We got a poll question up this morning. The most anticipated season in recent Detroit sports history. Is it the 2024 Lions, 2013 Tigers, 02 Wings, or the 97 Red Wings? You can vote. The early returns, overwhelmingly 73%. The Lions. Legit Super Bowl contenders. Yeah. Kind of trumps everything else.
Well, it does.
Recency
is part of it, but I mean, the buildup to this season is, it's like nothing I don't think we've ever seen before. And I think it's legitimate.
John, I said I had something to present to people today. I have a top 10 list spun off of ESPN's best athletes of the 21st century. So since the year 2000, They're doing a top 100. And there are some Detroiters in the list. Cabrera's on the list. Verlander's on the list. I decided I would just do a Detroit list. Not 100 names, but 10 names. A top 10 Detroit athletes since 2000, the 21st century.
Okay.
Some caveats. I only want players who played most of their career in the 21st century. So someone like Yzerman or Fedorov, who played most of their career before the year 2000, I left off the list.
I get that.
That makes sense?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Their best years were pre-2000.
Of those who qualified, I valued greatness over longevity, but ideally you have both, and the guys at the very top of the list have both. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have some honorable mentions before we get to the top 10.
Okay.
And Greg, I don't know if we have any music for the top 10, but the honorable mentions, just to go through some of the guys who are not on the list. Chris Osgood, borderline Hall of Famer, right on the edge.
Uh-huh.
Rip Hamilton. Ooh. Jared Goff. Matthew Stafford.
Oh.
And Amon-Ra St. Brown, just on the outside of the top 10. And for St. Brown, he could end up on this list. Already an All-Pro, driving force.
Oh, you're just putting another list together for Amon-Ra St. Brown to recite for us.
But those are those that just missed the list.
Okay. Are you going to start with 10?
We'll start with 10.
I would anticipate.
Yeah, let's do it. Number 10. Do we have any music, Greg? You don't have any music. Okay, no music. That's fine. We've had enough production today. We'll just do this. Number 10, Maglio.
Okay.
Won a batting title. Mm-hmm. Two-time All-Star with the Tigers, Silver Slugger. And of course, everybody remembers, sent the Tigers to the World Series.
What a, one of the greatest moments of this century.
Number 9, Penei Sewell.
Oh.
So I do have representation from the current Lions on the list. You could accuse me of being a little premature with this. I would tell you,
Penei Sewell, but no Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And here's the difference. They're both all pros. Sewell is the best at his position. Yes. St. Brown, we did yesterday, he's not the best at his position. Sewell, to me, is the identity up front on the offense.
We had him top three, didn't we?
I had him, I think, four.
Okay, yeah. Top four?
But Sewell is one.
Okay, well,
You're the best at your position on the offensive line, the identity of the football team. I chose him over St. Brown. You could flip them if you think St. Brown is more important, impactful, better, however you want to do it.
Oh, no, I think an offensive lineman is way more impactful.
Okay, and I think he's better than St. Brown.
I will wait to see what the next eight look like before I go all in.
These next eight, I think, are unimpeachable. Oh. I don't think any of these guys could be kicked off the list. You could fight me on 9 or 10 with maybe an honorable mention. You're an Aussie guy. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. Fine. My number 8 is Ben Wallace. The identity of the going to work era, Hall of Famer, 4-time defensive player of the year. That's the most in NBA history, tied with a couple other guys. But one of the greatest defensive players of all time in an era where defense won championships. Mm-hmm. Number 8 is Ben Wallace. You good with that?
Well, again, I'll wait to see what the other 7 look like.
Okay. Well, number 7 is former Red Wing captain, Henrik Zetterberg. Led the team in points in the 08 and 09 Cup playoffs. MVP of the 08 Cup with that Conn Smythe shift, killing off a 5-on-3. More than 1,000 games as a Red Wing. It's the 6th most all-time. Henrik Zetterberg, number 7.
Okay.
Number 6, Mr. Big Shot, Chauncey Billups. MVP of the finals team, best player on that team in that era, 5-time All-Star, two-way, not just defense like Ben, but also the guy that hit all those clutch shots, including everybody remembers the shot against the Nets.
Sure.
That's number 6. Number 5, Calvin Johnson, who is on ESPN's list of the top 100 athletes of the 21st century. He checks in number 5 for me, Hall of Famer, as physically gifted as any receiver in NFL history. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, and he was as physically, I've always said this about Calvin, as physically gifted as anybody that I've ever played football with in NFL history, as you mentioned. Worked his butt off and didn't take it for granted that he was gifted that the DNA.
6'5", 4'3", 40, big hands, yep. Double teams, triple teams, bracketing him with two guys on the goal line, doesn't matter. You couldn't stop Calvin Johnson. NFL record holder still to this day, mm-hmm. Going back to when it was a 16-game season, yeah. Now 17-game season. Number 4, we're really getting into the pantheon here. Justin Verlander. MVP, Cy Young winner, 6-time Tiger All-Star, pitched in 2 World Series, was a bulldog in the postseason to get him to those World Series. Verlander, number 4. Just ahead of Verlander, number 3, Pavel Datsyuk. Hall of Famer, 2-time Cup champion, elite two-way player, 3 Selke Awards, 3rd best plus-minus all-time in Red Wing history. Number 2, Miguel Cabrera. One of only 7 guys with 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, 4-time batting champ, 2-time MVP, triple crown winner. You're thinking, how is he not number 1? The number 1, the best Detroit athlete in the 21st century is Nick Lidstrom. Most of his career played after the year 2000. 7 Norris trophies all came in the 21st century. 2-time Cup champ, captain in 08, MVP of the playoffs in 02. His goal from center ice against Vancouver is one of the all-time slept-on moments in Detroit sports history. They were down 0-2. He scores from center ice, flips the series. They go on, they advance, and that loaded roster wins a Stanley Cup.
So, to me, you valued championships more than... So, Lidstrom, I would put Cabrera at number 1.
Why?
Because he is one of the three or four best hitters all time.
Lidstrom is one of the 1 or 2 best defensemen in the history of hockey. It's him and Bobby Orr. And Orr didn't play as long. You could argue Nick Lidstrom is the greatest defenseman in the history of hockey. And he played in the 21st century for the Red Wings. I mean, even just taking the fact that he was on 2 Cup teams off of it. He was, again, he plays defense. It's boring. He wasn't a guy who hit bone-crunching hits into the boards, but he was so good, the perfect human.
It's 1-2. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah, no, when you do this, you disparage the person that's 2. Right. It comes off that way, and that's not what's happening here. You guys simply disagree.
Right.
I would side with Jim in the fact that his nickname was the perfect human. And
he didn't make mistakes.
And he is in the discussion and is on my starting 5 NHL all-time team. Miguel Cabrera, I don't know how you quantify that. Would he be in your all-time lineup? I mean, I'd have to think that out. But still, that's 6 people. And he doesn't play goalie. So, he just, I mean, you know, and I don't know if the NHL ever did this. I would love for them to do it, is to create their all-time starting 6. And I don't know if Lidstrom would be on it, because I think there would be Canadian bias. He should be on it. Seriously, I mean, and if you think that, I don't know how he's not the best athlete ever here locally.
If the Tigers had finished the deal in, you know, in any one of those seasons, 12, 13, 14.
I don't think it puts Cabrera number one.
No, I'm Verlander.
Oh.
Would you have moved him ahead of Datsyuk?
Yeah, I think there's a real debate with 3 and 4, to be honest with you. I think there's a drop-off after those 2. Calvin at 5, I don't think you could argue him in over Verlander or Datsyuk. I didn't know the bottom. Zetterberg versus Chauncey. I mean, again, we're splitting hairs a little bit. If you want to call and fight about 6 versus 7, 1 versus 2, did I have any glaring omissions? Did I miss anybody? Is someone being wronged significantly on this list?
No, and I'm originally I was a little bit miffed, you might say, that Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't on it, but there's nobody on there I would take off.
Right. I think that top 8's tough. And then you could fight Sewell St. Brown. You could fight Maglio Osgood. Right? I mean, Osgood maybe... if Osgood gets in the Hall of Fame, and I think the ship's kind of sailed on it, but he's closer to the Hall of Fame than Maglio, but then you get to the contribution specifically to Detroit.
Yeah, but we don't really know what... I mean, I think Mags actually could get in the Hall... and I think Osgood belongs, but I don't know that he will.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and split hairs over, you know, Zetterberg above Billups or, you know, Calvin. And you're literally are splitting hairs.
Well, let me ask this question then. Does Goff end up on this list?
If he wins a Super Bowl.
So the Lions go on and win the Super Bowl, and he's the Super Bowl MVP. How high does Goff move up on this list?
I think
he would
bumps
pass Maglio.
Yeah.
I think he passes Ben Wallace. Does he pass Zetterberg? And there's a football bias.
There's a football bias, but some of it would have to go to, okay, that would be a giant feather in the cap for Goff, but what does he do after that?
Right.
There has to be more of a breadth of work. He's only, I mean, you talk about the majority of his career, it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
And so it's still early, and yes, I mean, on the heels of us putting up this poll of the anticipation going into the season, if he ultimately does win a Super Bowl here, and you know, he's already taken the team to an NFC Championship game, if they are in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl on a regular basis over the next 5 years, then yeah, he bumps himself way up this list.
All right, reactions to this. Ticket text coming in. Phone calls 248-539-9797. The top 10 Detroit athletes of the 21st century. We're going to get into the 8 o'clock hour with Dear John. And are they really going to demolish this iconic Detroit site? It's 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history. We're talking Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. John and I are going to be out there in August getting ready for the football season. This place is built for sports fans. 6 pools, 3 different levels, always, no matter where you are, a perfect view of a 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. It's where all the big games are. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch, yes, football, but any sports. You can plan all year round. Swim up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot. They've got the cozy day beds, the private cabanas. Grab a lounge at the center of the action. Reserve your place today. Start making plans for the fall. 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. That's on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. They're not going to demolish the Ren Center, are they?
Looks like they might, at least part of it.
We'll get to it at 8:02. Dear John at 8:35 this morning. Some reaction to the top 10 Detroit athletes of the 21st century. Spinoff of ESPN's top 100 that they're putting out right now. We localized it. I gave you 10 with some honorable mentions. Ticket Texter says, you can debate one or two, but I agree with the list. One and two was Lidstrom number one, Cabrera number two. Man, this list is getting me emotional this morning thinking about all these great moments these legends brought us. Texter says, I don't get how Iserman, who won the cup in 02, doesn't count in the post-2000s. I made the determination that if the majority of your career was played before 2000, I wasn't going to count you. I think that's the best way to do it. I mean, I could have put Iserman and Fedorov and Dominic Hasek in there too if I wanted. I mean, I could put Hull and Robitaille, who are some of the greats, but that's not the spirit of the best athletes of the 21st century that played in Detroit. Those were not their best years.
Right.
That was not the majority of their career. So I left off Steve Iserman. Wings say they Ticket Texter says the 08 Wings don't win the cup without Ozzie. He needs to be in over Maglio, right on the bubble. If Martinez had walked away a few years earlier, he'd be a good candidate to argue at number 10. See, I don't know. I know he didn't age well, but I think he didn't play here long enough to crack the top 10 either.
Yeah, I mean, how many years did he actually have here?
That were like big time
impact. Big time years,
yeah. I mean, a hand, three, four.
Yeah, I was going to say three.
Yeah. Texter says Lidstrom won four cups. Yes, but two post 2000 was my point. Verlander, historically horrible in the World Series. That should knock him down. Okay, but how far now?
Are you even there without him?
Right. Think about those closeout games against the A's. Are you even there without him? And am I supposed to bump Calvin Johnson up for his postseason six? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, Verlander deserves to be in the top four. Ticket Texter says, John, you're factually incorrect. Lidstrom is way ahead of Miguel, and it's not even close.
Okay. Again, a lot of this is subjective as well.
Right, because another person says, hands down, it is Miguel Cabrera. One of the greatest hitters in MLB history is equivalent to one of the best defensemen? I don't think so. Hands down, Miggy should be number one.
It's all a matter of perspective. How did you view their impact on their teams? How did you view their impact on even just the game that they played?
Texter wants to see Scherzer, Pudge, one of those two over Maglio. Scherzer didn't win any Cy Youngs here, right?
No.
He spent most of his career.
Oh, he did one?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he did. He did. Good correction. But he won his World Series and had his best seasons with the Nationals.
Reason to omit wanting to come out of the game in Boston?
Oh, if we're...
I love Scherzer, actually. I'm just saying, some people did not like that.
Yeah, Scherzer won the 13 Cy Young.
That was the year. That was the ALCS that he...
Yeah. Yeah, and he was great that season. 200 innings, 240 strikeouts, incredible. I think it's a little early for Sewell, says a Ticket Texter. Recency bias, what he's going to do, it should be Ozzie or Stafford in that spot. Osgood was great. He did spend some time in St. Louis and the Islanders, though, Chris, and Livonia.
Yeah, but he has, I know he was a high pick. He is, in my opinion, the best offensive lineman in the NFL. And you can debate that. You can argue that. And, you know, there's going to be people that say Trent Williams. And it's a tough debate because it's two different positions. But Penei Sewell, other than center, and I wouldn't even put it past him to be a great center if called upon. It's not going to happen. But he could play every one of those positions and be the best at that position. I really believe that. That's the athletic ability. That's the power. That's the speed. That's the agility. It's the awareness. And that is a rare skill that he has been able to master of going between right tackle and left tackle. I know he played left tackle in college, so it's not foreign to him. But he came in, had to switch to the right side, and mastered it. Has absolutely mastered it.
If you rewatch, and I know it's painful, so just rewatch the first half of the NFC Championship game. I don't know that I've seen a tackle impact a game more than the way Penei Sewell was impacting that game. Blowing guys off the line of scrimmage. They use him in the screen game a little bit, and he's clearing the path down the field.
He was dominant.
He was as dominant, like as much as one non-quarterback can impact a game. Penei Sewell was dictating that football game. They're running 7 yards a play. Jahmyr Gibbs on the season. Where do you think he was the best running?
The right side.
Yeah. I mean, he is, and the thing is, he's physical at the point of attack. Like, he's a mauler, right? And he has that passionate, you see him before the games, that like foaming of the mouth. But he's also a technician off off the side of the line too in pass pro. I mean, the guy, if he ever gets moved over to left tackle, there's no hesitation that he can do the job.
Well, because he's done it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not guessing. You saw it all in college, but you've seen it. I mean, he started his NFL career on the left because Decker was hurt. Yeah.
And that opener, yeah. It's funny how it all comes full circle. 248-539-9797. Thought it was a fun exercise, something to think about. The best athletes Detroit's had since 2000, the 21st century. ESPN puts out their full list today. I think the last 25 get unveiled today. Number one will probably be like, what? LeBron, Brady, probably Brady. Messi, if they're going international. Tiger Woods.
Tiger, I mean, you've got to be up there.
Serena.
Yeah, there's
some dominance in individual sports.
Yeah, Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
And his dominance at his event.
I think it's probably Brady, though, right? Your vote would be Tom.
I appreciate you trying to take that over for Stoney. But I don't know that it would be. It'd be hard to argue against it, I'd say that.
Okay.
With the number of championships.
What are they going to do with the Ren Center? We got some people who want to weigh in on the phones. We should get into it next. 97.1. They're not going to demolish the Ren Center, are they?
Looks like they might, at least part of it.
We'll get to it at 8.02. Dear John at 8.35 this morning. Some reaction to the top 10 Detroit athletes of the 21st century. Spinoff of ESPN's top 100 that they're putting out right now. We localized it. I gave you 10 with some honorable mentions. Ticket Texter says, you can debate one or two, but I agree with the list. One and two was Lidstrom, number one, Cabrera, number two. Man, this list is getting me emotional this morning thinking about all these great moments these legends brought us. Texter says, I don't get how Iserman, who won the Cup in 02, doesn't count in the post-2000s. I made the determination that if the majority of your career was played before 2000, I wasn't going to count you. I think that's the best way to do it. I mean, I could have put Iserman and Fedorov and Dominic Hasek in there too if I wanted. I mean, I could put Hull and Robitaille, who are some of the greats, but that's not the spirit of the best athletes of the 21st century that played in Detroit. Those were not their best years.
Right.
That was not the majority of their career. So I left off Steve Iserman. Wings say they, Ticket Texter says the 08 Wings don't win the cup without Ozzie. He needs to be in over Maglio, right on the bubble. If Martinez had walked away a few years earlier, he'd be a good candidate to argue at number 10. See, I don't know. I know he didn't age well, but I think he didn't play here long enough to crack the top 10 either.
Yeah, I mean, how many years did he actually have here?
That were like big time
impact? Big time years,
yeah. I mean, three, four?
Yeah, I was going to say three.
Yeah. Texter says, Lidstrom won four cups. Yes, but two post-2000 was my point. Verlander, historically horrible in the World Series. That should knock him down. Okay, but how far now?
Are you even there without him?
Right. Think about those closeout games against the A's. Are you even there without him? And am I supposed to bump Calvin Johnson up for his postseason six? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, Verlander deserves to be in the top four. Ticket Texter says, John, you're factually incorrect. Lidstrom is way ahead of Miguel, and it's not even close.
Okay. Again, a lot of this is subjective as well.
Right, because another person says, hands down, it is Miguel Cabrera. One of the greatest hitters in MLB history is equivalent to one of the best defensemen? I don't think so. Hands down, Miggy should be number one.
It's all a matter of perspective. How did you view their impact on their teams? How did you view their impact on the even just the game that they played?
Texter wants to see Scherzer, Pudge, one of those two over Maglio. Scherzer didn't win any Cy Youngs here, right?
No.
He spent most of his career.
He did win one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He did. Good correction. But he won his World Series and had his best seasons with the Nationals.
Reason to omit wanting to come out of the game in Boston?
Oh, if we're...
I love Scherzer, actually. I'm just saying, some people did not like that.
Yeah, Scherzer won the 13 Cy Young.
That was the year. That was the ALCS
And he was great that season. 200 innings, 240 strikeouts. Incredible. I think it's a little early for Sewell, says a Ticket Texter. Recency bias, what he's going to do, it should be Ozzie or Stafford in that spot. Osgood was great. He did spend some time in St. Louis and the Islanders, though, Chris and Livonia.
Yeah, but he has, I know he was a high pick. He is, in my opinion, the best offensive lineman in the NFL. And you can debate that. You can argue that. And, there's going to be people that say Trent Williams. And it's a tough debate because it's two different positions. But Penei Sewell, other than center, and I wouldn't even put it past him to be a great center if called upon. It's not going to happen, but he could play every one of those positions and be the best at that position. I really believe that. That's the athletic ability, that's the power, that's the speed, that's the agility, it's the awareness. And that is a rare skill that he has been able to master of going between right tackle and left tackle. I know he played left tackle in college, so it's not foreign to him, but he came in, had to switch to the right side, and mastered it, has absolutely mastered it.
If you rewatch, and I know it's painful, so just rewatch the first half of the NFC Championship game. I don't know that I've seen a tackle impact a game more than the way Penei Sewell was impacting that game. Blowing guys off the line of scrimmage. They use him in the screen game a little bit, and he's clearing the path down the field.
He was dominant.
He was as dominant, like as much as one non-quarterback can impact a game. Penei Sewell was dictating that football game. They're running 7 yards a play. Jahmyr Gibbs on the season. Where do you think he was the best running?
The right side.
Yeah. I mean, he is, and the thing is, he's physical at the point of attack. Like, he's a mauler, right? And he has that passionate, you see him before the games, that like foaming of the mouth. But he's also a technician off the side of the line, too, in pass pro. I mean, the guy, if he ever gets moved over to left tackle, there's no hesitation that he can do the job.
Well, because he's done it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not guessing. You saw it all in college, but you've seen it. I mean, he started his NFL career on the left because Decker was hurt. Yeah.
And that opener, yeah. It's funny how it all comes full circle. 248-539-9797. Thought it was a fun exercise, something to think about. The best athletes Detroit's had since 2000, the 21st century. ESPN puts out their full list today. I think the last 25 get unveiled today. Number one will probably be like, what? LeBron, Brady, probably Brady. Messi, if they're going international. Tiger Woods?
Tiger, I mean, you've got to be up there.
Serena?
Yeah, there's
dominance in individual sports.
Yeah, Usain Bolt?
Yeah.
And his dominance at his event.
I think it's probably Brady, though, right? Your vote would be Tom?
I appreciate you trying to take that over for Stoney. But I don't know that it would be. It'd be hard to argue against it, I'd say that.
Okay.
With the number of championships.
What are they going to do with the Rent Center? We got some people who want to weigh in on the phones. We should get into it next. 97.1.